he was defeated by this battle. You know, at the right after the crucifixion, or right before the crucifixion, and he denies him. But yet he was a powerful preacher. That first great revival, 3,000 souls were added to the church at Pentecost. The audience, they were strangers, they were scattered, and they were suffering big time. Persecution like you and I haven't ever seen. I don't believe any of us have seen what they went through, and that was just their life and no reason. But they were elected, they were selected people, and they were sanctified people, and they were purposing to honor God in the midst of it. We need to remember that. If it turns bad around here, we need to remember we've still been elected, we've still been selected by the Almighty, we've still been set apart for His duty, His service, and we can glorify Him in the midst of difficult times. The first one is we talked about being humble, we talked about being watchful. The next one is to be hopeful, and I'll just share it with you so quickly. We got just a couple minutes. But may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory. Now, notice what he's saying. He called us to His eternal glory. He's talking about we got a future. No matter how, they were people that were suffering horrifically. They had their friends put on stakes and burnt to light up the Colosseum. They had other of their friends put in the Colosseum to be eaten by the lions. I mean, this is the day and age they were in. It was a horrific time. However, by the way, there are believers that are facing similar type of horrific events today. You know, we're heartbroken over those that are incarcerated. Think about those that are being beheaded. And starved to death. After you have suffered a while, I love that. After you've suffered a while, in other words, we have this glory after the suffering. There is this aspect of life that isn't supposed to be in the world to have tribulation. I think Ruth, you had quoted that, or I don't remember, Sunday, maybe it was you. Someone quoted that verse earlier, John chapter 16, verse 33. In the world you have tribulation. It is part of God's plan, and He literally tells us why. While He's going to perfect us, establish, strengthen, and settle us. I have some thoughts there. First of all, called us. We have got a future. And we got to hold on to that. And it's not here. It is in a lifetime to come. And it's eternal, not temporal. And then it says, after we suffer a while, it's a reminder, no matter what you're facing. That young lady I was speaking with, I was trying to remind her, as horrific as this is, and the way it looks like it's going to turn out, we don't, first of all, know how it'll turn out. The man could repent at any time, and this could be reversed, and it would be a fine situation. He could be turned around so simply, but the probability of that happening now is not likely. But even then, that's not the end of life. It may be the end of your dream, but God has another dream for you. And we need to just keep going. And then he talks about for a purpose. He is taking us through the suffering, no matter how horrific and how unbearable it is. He has a plan. And it's found in these four words, the perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. In fact, here's the three thoughts that seem to stand out for me. We're headed for glory, and we ought to remember that. In the midst of our trials, lift up, rejoice in the Lord always, and say, you know what? I'm someday going home to be with Him. And all of this is going to be worth it. That's our songs that we sing. And then our suffering is only temporary. It is not forever. It's only when we get to eternity, it'll seem like nothing. And it is perfecting us. He's molding us into the people He wants us to be. That's why He's taking us through it. Not only 1 Peter, but that's exactly what Romans chapter 5 is saying. That we're going to go through these. That's what James chapter 1 is saying. We go through these because He's molding us and perfecting. And you say, Lord, I don't want to go through this. It's not a question of what we want. It's what is right and good for us in line with His will for us. This word perfect means to equip, to adjust, to fit together. Isn't that sweet? And the fact is, that word in the Greek, it's found in Matthew chapter 4, verse 21. And there it's translated, it's about mending a net. I think of that perfectly in my own life. I go through tough times so that my net can be sewn back together. I ripped it apart going my own way, and God needs to take me through this so that my net gets knit back together, so I'm back the way he wants me to be, to perfection that he is looking for. Established means fixed firmly, to set fast. It's found several places. It's just anchored. It's that concept. In fact, as you'll see, that concept of anchored over in these other words. Strengthened means God's strength has been given to us to meet the demands of life. We will not face anything we can't make it through. Even if making it through means we stand before a firing squad and go from this life to the next, we can make it through in his strength. And we know what? We have testimonies of it. You know, the voice of the martyrs is a good thing for us to be reading. Fox's Book of Martyrs is a good thing for us to read through, because these are not far-fetched concepts. Literally, believers like you and I are facing it today. In a greater extent, more Christians are being martyred now than they've ever done in history. Just that we're so far from it. But we'd have the strength even to go through that. And this settle you, translation of the words, that means to lay a foundation. Now there's a sweetness to this. In the midst of a storm, in the midst of a life's storms, and I'm telling you, I've been there, you know, where the waves are, what you feel like you have no equilibrium. You ever had life going that way where you don't know which way is up and you don't feel like you have any anchors in anything? God is using that very experience to build the foundation for us. Now that I'm a little bit older and I can look back at a few of those times in my life, I see, you know what? That was the construction of an anchor that holds me even now and prepares me for other storms. There's sweetness to what God's doing with us. Not unlike disciplining and raising children. I think of an event that happened we had several of the grandkids at our house just before dinner tonight, and my daughter-in-law, I was trying to just meditate on my passage and what we're doing and just kind of reviewing it. And they were up playing some game and they started screaming. You ever been around 3 and 4 year olds that start to scream and think it's really funny? And I said, I just said to the other adults, I said, is anyone else bothered by this screaming? And Lori took the initiative and she went up there and said, if any of you scream, you all have to have a timeout on the couch. I didn't hear that, but that's what happened. So it wasn't, but it was quiet for about a minute, maybe two. And then one of them screamed. What was fascinating is I was at the other end of the house, but I could hear Lori immediately heading in the direction of the kids. And she meets the two older ones coming down. They said, we're going to the couch. I heard that. We're on our way to the couch. And then you hear the little ones coming down. And why do I bring that up? Even those times of those types of disruptions, God's in the molding business. There's consequences for behavior. He does, just as we do with children, God is doing with us as human beings, as adults. And he's doing to us right now. He's taking us through these trials. These are not bad times. They're just not pleasant times, if you understand what I'm saying. I don't want to go through trials. I don't want to have the pressure where I can't hardly handle it. But the truth is, they're good for us. And we need to, in the midst of them, remind ourselves, God's up to something. He's perfecting me. He has established me. He's strengthening me. He is settling me. Amen? That's an encouragement. That's what I was trying to tell that young lady. I says, as horrible as this is, God's up to something good here. You can be more the woman that God intends you to be, no matter how this turns out, than you are today. And that's what really matters. And it ends with a fourth exhortation. It isn't directly, but he ends with this: to him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. So I changed it from 3 to 4 exhortations that I get from the passage. Clearly, we have to be humble. Second, we got to be watchful. Third, we need to be hopeful. We need to be hopeful that God's up to good things, because he is. But we need to be worshipful. To God be the glory. Great things he has done. Amen? And not only he has done, the truth that I get out of this, that he is doing right now in every one of us. And we just need to say, you know what? Okay, this is not the way I wished it was right at the moment, but God is up to something. And why? That is special, that the creator, sustainer, God of the universe cares about you and me. Amen?